I'd like to call to order this special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay. Could I have roll call, please?
President Graves.
Here.
Vice President Dawson.
Here.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Thank you. This is the time for public comment. I would invite anybody that has any comments to make about this particular meeting or anything on the agenda, please step forward at this point and have those comments. Okay, hearing none, I would like to turn the meeting over to council for movement into closed session, please.
Thank you, President Graves, board members. The board is now adjourning into closed session regarding action item D1. It involves two cases. The facts and circumstances are as follows. Two demands to cure under Government Code Section 54960.1 have been received from Mr. Richardson. The first is by letter dated September 5th, 2011, regarding water rate increase procedures, which is a follow-up from his July 28th, 2011 demand. The second is a September 15th, 2011 email regarding the director's medical coverage issues. Thank you, sir.
Council, can I ask a question?
Yes.
Just curious. We have the discussion and possible action after the return to open session. Are those closed session items?
No, sir.
No action to be taken. Thank you. Any questions or clarifications from the board? From the audience?
We would like to be here for item F.
We will go to the door and let people know that we are returning to open session. At that point, you're welcome to come back in.
Okay.
But we would ask you to leave at this time because we are going into closed session. Thank you.
As a count,
I just want to make sure. As soon as he.
So, am I bringing this back? I'm asking if I bring this back in open session.
Just say, okay, we're back in open session. I'll turn it over.
We are now back into open session. I will turn the meeting over to council.
Thank you, President Graves and board members. The board has reconvened from closed session regarding action item D1. All five of the board members were present during the duration of the closed session. By unanimous direction, I've been instructed to respond as follows regarding the supplementary or the second demand to cure dated September 5, 2011. That demand is denied for the same basis of denial of the July 28th demand to cure. In regards to the email dated September 15th, 2011, alleging violations that occurred back in 2010, that request, again, unanimously is denied on the basis that it's untimely. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Moving on to item.
Mr. President, I would like to, for the record, state that at the request of residents that were in the audience to bring them back into the room, we attempted on three separate occasions to do so, and we were unsuccessful in that attempt.
It appeared that nobody was available to come back in. Thank you. Moving on to item F. Discussion and possible action regarding procedure to respond to demand to cure council.
Thank you. As we just went through, we've had several demands to cure. The general manager has asked me to review with you your options on how to procedurally handle those demands when you receive them. Under Government Code Section 54960.1, if there's a violation of five different sections of the Brown Act, that a party can make a written demand to cure, which the board is required to respond to within 30 days. If you fail to respond within 30 days, it's deemed rejected on its own. Up until now, and possibly going forward, the procedure that the board has been following is to convene a closed session in order to address these matters, since the end result of a demand to cure could be a lawsuit because it is a condition for going forward in a lawsuit. That is one way you may continue to do so. The other way which has been my experience with the majority of municipalities, is that all demands to cure, since they are legal in nature, are given to the entity's attorney, whether it's county council, city attorney, or special district's attorney, to review the demand to determine whether there's a possibility of a violation. If there's no violation, then they send out a response. And at the time that they send out their response, they also send a copy of the demand to all of the elected officials, so they're aware of what's going on in the event any of the elected officials believe that the response that the council gave was in error. They would have the ability then to, following their procedures, add it to the agenda. So those are essentially the two options that you have before you, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
I would open this up to discussion by the board at this point. Does anybody have any comments they'd like to make on this?
I'd like to make a motion.
Go ahead.
You need to formally.
I would like to ask if there's any comments from the public, but I will, for the record, note that there is nobody. Nobody has come back into open session, and there is nobody in the audience at this point. Go ahead.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion that we change our policy and adopt the policy that is more common with most municipalities, and that the demands will go to our legal, and he will determine what to do with them, and we'll follow that procedure.
I'll second it.
Okay, the motion has been made and seconded.
For clarification, that if council determines that there's no basis for the demand to cure, that he or she is authorized to respond with a letter declining the demand.
That is my motion.
Great. This is time open for discussion by the board. Is there any discussion from any of the board members? Any comments? Just counsel, for clarification, so this would be the demand to cure comes in. It appears that there was no violation by the board. Council would then send a letter directly to the individual and also copy the board, correct?
Together with the original demand letter to the board, so they had the entire packet. Yes, sir. And it would be done within the time frame of 30 days under the Brown Act.
Okay, is there any other clarification that needs to be made or questions by the board? I guess it's time for the question. All those in favor of this motion as stated, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? The motion carries unanimously. I believe that is all we have on our agenda for the closed session. So at this point, I would ask for a motion to adjourn. The special meeting.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
And if I don't know.
Obama walks in whenever the hell he wants.
I didn't know what you wanted to say.
I know.
Obama walks in whenever.
Like to call to order the meeting of the regular meeting of the town of Discovery Bay. Would you all rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
President Graves.
Here.
Vice President Dawson.
Present.
Director Simon.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Thank you. At this time, it's time for public comments. Anybody that has any items that they would like to address the board on, other than items that are on the agenda, there is a 3-minute time limit. Please step forward and come to the podium. And I see a hand just went up, but I'm not seeing really well, so you guys gotta make sure. Please come up. Thank you. At the last meeting, President Graves, you didn't allow me to ask
a question about director's comments for clarification. And I believe that you were in error in not allowing me. You forbade me from speaking. You also tried to tell me that I couldn't add an item or come up and speak on future agenda items. And on several occasions, you forgot to ask for public comment. And I think the rules are pretty simple. Maybe legal counsel can use some of his time tonight to help explain them. I believe that you know that you were in error in not allowing me to ask a question about director's comments. Is that correct, or do you stand by that?
This is not a time for dialogue. This is time for your comments, sir.
Fair enough. Well, I think you need to address that and be more fair. The item that I was going to mention in director's comments, and then a little bit more than that, is I had never asked for an apology for myself for Director Dawson's statements. I'd asked for an apology for people that suffer from mental illness and for their loved ones, because the way he handled that by accusing me of having mental illness was outrageous. And then you mentioned that you've been accused of the same thing by people in the room. And I find that hard to believe, but it's possible. I wish you would explain that. Because otherwise, it seems like you're doing the same thing, using a club of mental illness to justify something. And I just don't think it ought to be used that way.
Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Yes, sir.
Maybe more for the town manager than the board. A couple days ago, I live on Clipper, and the power went out in our house. I called the office here, and they didn't know anything about it. Apparently, there was a problem with PG&E around the corner from us. What I'd like to request is that they mandatorily notify the residents who are affected by the outage, because I have my mom disabled at home. Could have done a couple of things for her with the power before it went out for 5 hours. And, you know, nobody notified us. I had to go to them. I called PG&E, didn't get a return call, called this office, and they knew nothing about it. So in the future, I'd like to, if we can do anything, to have PG&E or anybody, when the power's out, notify all affected residents as a courtesy. Thanks.
Thank you. Yes, sir.
It's my understanding that a notice of recall was served on Director Dawson tonight. I want to make sure that is on the record now. It's a terrible thing. Obviously, what he did is a terrible thing. He faces terrible charges, and it will be a terrible expense for this community. It doesn't have to happen, in my opinion. A resignation will end it all and allow everyone to go on about their business unencumbered. So I think it's important that this not go silent, that this board not be silent on this issue. And I've seen two of the directors state that they would support his resignation. I think President Graves, your statements lead me to believe that you support him staying on, even though what he did was terrible, and that he has demonstrated the worst possible judgment a human being can demonstrate by acting violently towards his family. I think this is an important issue for the community. I think it's one that obviously will rev up over time. It will involve everyone when it goes to the ballot. And certainly the expense can't be ignored. But it all doesn't have to happen. And I think that has to be acknowledged. Thank you.
Appreciate your opinion, sir. Any other comments? Yes, sir. Yes.
Good evening. Hi, Chris. Can you hear me? Sorry about that. I thought the dog park was on the agenda tonight, so I'll be very brief. My name is Brad Young. I'm a Discovery Bay resident. I've been here for 8 years. And I'd like to say thank you for letting me talk tonight, and thank you for showing up. Could have been a very easy sick day with the weather. So thank you, guys.
The dog park is on the agenda.
Yeah, it is. Yes. Okay, would you like me to wait?
That would be appropriate. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. Sorry about that. Thank you, Ray. Any other comments about items that are not on the agenda? Seeing none, public comments are closed. At this time, I would like to move directors' and president's comments up to this point in the agenda. I believe that Director Dawson has a few words.
these signatures. Thank you, Janone. You're going to go ahead. Effective immediately, I am resigning from the office of Vice President on this board. I have tried hard to limit the distractions to this board and will continue to do so moving forward. I'm not proud of my behavior. It has brought dishonor to me and my family. I take full responsibility for my actions and am working every day and in every way to deal with the myriad of problems I have caused. All I can do now is conduct myself both at home and here in the community in a manner which helps to rebuild my honor and reputation. Of utmost importance is the role model I provide to my children. I want them to see that when you make mistakes, the key issues are how you, one, improve yourself so that the problems are eliminated, and two, dust yourself off and work through the public aspects of your failing. I believe we all fall short of our standards from time to time. Quitting and hiding from what you've caused is no answer. Not running away from problems is paramount to dealing with them. It is also not the way I want my girls to live their lives. There are those who have called for my resignation from the CSD. Serving our community is a great privilege and a responsibility that I take very seriously. In little less than 2 years of serving you, I am proud of the progress that we've made. We've hired a terrific general manager who deserves our respect and support. We are finally tackling the long-delayed infrastructure issues of water and wastewater. We're bringing our fiscal affairs into better shape, and we've completely changed and updated our landscaping and parks. I'm proud of the leadership, innovation, and positive energy I've brought to this position. It is so good to see Discovery Bay moving forward. Last year, as a first-time candidate, the people of this community honored me with their confidence by electing me, along with my colleagues Kevin and Chris here, to the board. To turn my back on that trust and responsibility does not, in my view, serve a positive purpose. It would make some happy. In many cases, there are the same people who opposed my initial appointment to the board and my candidacy last year. They hold the viewpoint that elected officials must be perfect, an idea I do not subscribe to. I am, as we all are, tragically human. If I were to allow my personal shortcomings to undo the will of the electorate and shrink from my responsibilities and the tasks I was given to help our town move forward, that would be among the worst of all outcomes. I have adjusted some of my roles here to reflect the current circumstances. However, resigning my seat would cause a potentially significant disruption to our important work. Therefore, I will not resign. The decision to remain on the CSD comes from the support of my family and the community. I can't tell you how much I love and appreciate my family's support throughout all this. My wife's presence here is both humbling to me and also helps motivate me to do better going forward. As Jessica has asked in her letter to the press that will be published soon, I would also ask that everyone allow us the space and privacy to make our family stronger. We're doing great, and I know we'll all get through this together. I apologize in the strongest possible terms for the disruption I've caused. Now I ask that we put these distractions, real or imagined, aside and get back to work. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Dawson. Any comments from any other directors? Have any comments this evening?
I'm sorry?
Director's comments. Chris, did you have anything you wanted to report?
No.
Right? Mark? Okay. At this time, I would ask the public comment on the director's comments. Is that correct, Council?
They have an opportunity to comment.
This would be your opportunity to comment on that agenda item, which I moved forward, which was agenda item G. This would be your time to comment on that.
I would like to know why last week or 2 weeks ago I was not allowed to comment on director's comments when we have an attorney sitting right there that's supposed to help you run a meeting. And I would suggest you not interrupt me right now. If you can't get through running the meeting with the process, something needs to change. I think that, you know, I heard that Director Dawson was going to resign his vice presidency. It's kind of common knowledge. I heard it because it was discussed amongst directors. And I think that more business ought to be done in this room and not outside this room. I don't think discussions about whether or not he's going to attend school district meetings and whether or not he's going to resign and who's the next vice president should be taking place anywhere but in this room, in an open meeting. And it's just kind of sad that so much of what the business of the board is going to undertake is done outside this room. And we all know what's going on.
Any other comments? Okay, moving to agenda item C, area agencies, reports, presentations. Do we have somebody from the sheriff's office here this evening? Hey, there he is. How you doing, AJ?
Good, how are you, sir? I have to apologize. We had some printing and Xeroxing issues, so I have no handouts. I will have to provide double handouts next month. We had some problems. I won't bore you with the details, but it'll be fixed soon and in time for next month. So I apologize for that.
We'll take your word for it.
Thank you very much. Very frustrating, as you can tell. Good news. In going through the stats, I've done some, I'm fairly new as the lieutenant here. I've gone back and done some comparisons over previous months. And the nice thing is property crimes, which are one of the biggest problems for Disco Bay, seem to be on the decline. Last month they were down about 10% from the previous month, and this month they're down 10% from last month. So we're not talking huge numbers. It went from I believe 7 to 5. So we're not talking huge numbers, but down is good. The one point that came up in reading all the reports and getting input from my deputies on the property crimes, burglaries in particular, there seems to be an influx of the criminals coming from Stockton. And we know that because some of the property stolen in a couple of cases ended up in Stockton. And Stockton PD recovered it, and we got in touch with them, and our detectives are working with them to try to piece things together because they know their criminals better than we know their criminals. But I bring that up just to ask that all of you, when you're going about your daily lives, grocery shopping, you know, working in the yard, whatever, if you see strange cars that don't seem to belong, resist the urge to dismiss it and say, oh, it's probably nothing. Call the sheriff's office. We need to find these cars. And if it is nothing, if it's just someone looking at property because they're thinking about buying, great. We'll, you know, apologize for any inconvenience we caused and send them on their way. But if it is, in fact, people from Stockton who are up to no good, we need to identify who those people are and deal with them. So I just ask for some help in that area because you are the eyes and ears of everything. We're around, we're driving around, but you're still going to know better than we will what belongs in the neighborhood, what doesn't, what's strange, what's not. So just keep an eye out, if you would, for those sorts of things as you're working through your daily lives. Okay, so beyond that, again, I apologize, I don't have copies to hand out. Not a lot noteworthy other than the fact that crime's going down, the property crimes are going down, which is a good thing. So, any questions?
First from the board, Director Simon?
Any progress with the two kids that escaped from the boys' ranch?
I don't know. It's what we do after we're done with it. After we do the initial search, the case is really turned back over to juvenile probation. It's their jurisdiction. So, as far as I know, no updates. I haven't been given any updates, so my assumption is they're still outstanding.
Thanks. Right? Director Dawson?
If I heard right, you guys did the If I Was a Thief. Did you guys do that? How'd that go?
Yes. I thought it went pretty well. There's always, you know, and this has been my experience. I've done it for many years. Oh, let me back up. Apologize. For those who don't know what it is, it's called If I Were a Thief, You'd Be a Victim program. And we take our volunteers who are Discovery Bay residents, and we send them through parking lots and shopping centers, and they look into your cars. And if they see things that would be obvious for victims, purses left on front floorboards or front seats, laptop computers left, cash left in the center console, iPods, you know, that sort of thing left in plain view, they leave a little note on your window that says, if I were a thief, you'd be a victim, and they check the things that they would have or could have stolen. So that's what the program is. So we did our first one. I encouraged Tony Fontenot, I'm sure many of you know Tony. I encouraged Tony to get it started earlier this year so we can do a couple of them before we get into the holiday season. That's when it becomes the biggest problem. People go shopping and they buy Christmas presents or holiday gifts or food, whatever it is, leave it in the car, and it invites crime. So anyway, Tony went out and did that 2 weeks ago, I believe, in the...
San Diego.
Thank you. I was going to call it the Safeway or the Straw Hat Shopping Center, but I know that's not the proper title. But in the Sandy Cove Shopping Center, got some good feedback. People seem to like it. You always run into the old saying, there's always one in every crowd, you know, why were you looking in my car? That's not right. But, you know,
leave it for the thieves.
Yeah, it goes with the territory. But overall, the feedback was positive. People liked it, and they wanted to see more of it. And what they also asked is that we expanded into the community itself instead of just the shopping centers, that we work different neighborhoods walking into the streets and things like that. And if your car is parked on the street, leave a note. Also to ring doorbells. If you leave your garage door open and you're not actually working in your garage, perfect opportunity for criminals. Just walk up, grab golf clubs. Alcohol is popular with kids. They walk up, you have a fridge in your garage, you know, grab the alcohol. So we're going to probably step it up to that as well. So you may see some of the volunteers walking through the communities, handing out flyers and putting flyers on cars to try to, again, increase community awareness, to be aware of what you're leaving out and what criminals are looking for. So far, I think it's been pretty successful, and we hope to expand that program.
Thanks, Adrian.
Yes, sir.
Director Steele?
Any update on the break-ins at the Lakeview Business Plaza?
No. That was one of those, was one of the Stockton connections. And I don't laugh because it's funny. I laugh because it's just, sometimes I just scratch my head at why criminals do what they do. There was a burglary in Stockton, and they left some of the stolen property at the location here and stole property from here and left it back up in Stockton. So I mean, my mind, if you're going to steal something, keep it. But I'm not really sure why they left property here, some of that property here and our property there. So something's not right. And again, our detectives are working with it. So clearly there's a Stockton connection in that case. But I can't put my finger on it yet.
Okay. Thank you.
Great. Thanks. Any questions for... Yes.
I think last month or recently you mentioned that you had apprehended one or more people that were involved in home burglaries, or you thought.
Yes.
And how has that proceeded since then?
That has gone to court, and because it's juvenile, the courts tend to, you know, look more to rehabilitation rather than punishment right out of the gate. The juvenile has been placed on probation with search clauses so that we are able to pay random visits to that individual and to the household and search. We've done it, the deputies have done it twice now, I believe. No evidence of anything that he shouldn't have.
It was determined that was a local resident who was indeed breaking into
homes.
Yes.
So any other questions or comments?
He basically has been convicted and on probation.
Good, Lieutenant. Yes, ma'am.
You said that you did the search for the juveniles that walked away from the... rode away from the ranch.
Yes.
Who is responsible for getting the calls to the community when there's an escape out there?
Well, normal protocols, there aren't calls made unless there's some sort of different sort of circumstance. Normal walkaways aren't. We did get calls.
The last time you did,
because the lieutenant that was on scene at the time felt that it was important to advise the community that, to be on the lookout for this group. These guys got in the car and drove away, so there was no real risk to the community. They were long gone before we ever got on the scene.
I, as a resident of Discovery Bay, living so close, it would be really nice if we got a call every time somebody's...
If you take that up with the Juvenile Probation Department, it's their jurisdiction, it's their facility. All we do is, it's basically a call for service. We respond, we conduct the initial search. If we find the kids, we return them. If we don't, we continue area monitoring search throughout the evening, and the juvenile probation takes the case back over.
But when we got the call, it said this is the sheriff's department.
Correct. Yes, because the calling system belongs to the sheriff's office, but it's juvenile probation that runs that facility.
That triggered the call.
Yes.
I see another hand.
Yeah. You said you'd like us to have no vehicles that we could characterize as not being local. Is there any way that, criminals are stupid, can we start to compile the list of those vehicles?
You mean, can I compile the list for community? Unfortunately, we're not allowed to do that. No, we can't. Yes. What you're talking about is what used to be called a crook book, and cops used to keep lists of all the crooks and all their cars and everything, and the court said that's not legal anymore. So no, we can't keep lists of cars and people.
Okay.
So it's considered a crook book. So the answer to your question is no, but if you write down the license plates and then share them with us because this car didn't seem right in the neighborhood, that's absolutely fine. So if you see the car and say you're driving, and obviously you don't write and drive, but say you're a passenger in the car and you see the car, something's not right, go ahead and jot down the license plate, and then if you don't have the opportunity to call, you can call later and then we can follow up on it. But we're not allowed to keep lists now.
So it's a thin line between characterizing a car that doesn't belong here and profiling.
The difference is it's just a vehicle, and obviously on your street, I'm assuming that you know your neighbors, at least a few houses in either direction, opposite side of the street. And whether you're close friends or not, you probably would recognize what cars they drive, and even during the holidays, what cars might come visit from family and friends. So when you see that one that you've never seen before, that's the one we need to know about. And maybe it isn't a new friend or a new family, and that's absolutely fine. But those are the ones that sometimes are also strange to the neighborhood. And to me, for example, driving through, I can see a car that's maybe parked in an odd location. You know, most people, if you're going to park your car, you park them in front of your house, right? It's convenient. So there might be one that's kind of parked down the street. It's not really in front of a house. That's an odd location. So I might run that license plate because it's just an odd location. But then again, it might belong there, and maybe it was one in a string of cars, and all the other cars left, and it happens to be the only one sitting there. Perfectly logical explanation. But I wouldn't know that because I got there late. So for me, tripping plates, kind of things that look odd to you, it may not be odd at all, and in which case then you would have a better idea. So that's what we're looking for. Profiling applies more to race-based issues. Something along the lines, if we picked a particular race and said, hey, if you see anybody from this race in the community, call us, then we're getting into profiling. I'm just asking for cars that just don't seem right, because obviously they're coming from Stockton. The assumption is they're using cars to get here. So we're looking for cars that are unfamiliar to the neighborhood.
So there's no gang tag or anything
No.
like that?
No.
I've got a piece of property just up the road here, and Arcanios have been driving me nuts. I lose batteries, I lose air conditioning with the units.
Now, in this case, we're just looking for cars. There's a Stockton connection, although we're having trouble figuring out exactly what it is, and that's why we're looking for help.
Great. Thank you very much. Any other questions? AJ, thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Chief Burris.
Hello, I'm Battalion Chief Burris with the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District to give you the monthly report for calls. There were 65 calls in the month of August. Correction. 64.
Start
over.
Restart.
Yeah, go ahead. Chief Burris, would you like to come forward?
Yes.
Thank you.
There were 64 calls for the month of September. 44 were medicals, 3 structure fires, 6 vegetation fires, 3 exterior fires, 8 auto accidents, including a train accident, and that was pretty much it for the month. The gentleman who had the question about the power line, that was a large hawk that flew into high-tension power lines and wrapped 2 power lines together. So PG&E didn't even know it happened until it was already too late.
No, this is different. This is a box that burned up. This was 2 days ago.
Okay. I'm safe then. We did have the train accident on Friday that made the news. Several people were injured. So if there's any questions, Contra Costa Sheriff's Department, AMR, and our organization worked very well together to facilitate a smooth and seamless transition of patients to local hospitals.
Any questions for the board? Chris?
It was the driver cited for that train accident?
That I do not know. That would probably be either SO or CHP.
Oh, all right.
But the
question about the train?
Yeah. Was he cited the driver of the Grand Prix?
Burlington Northern Santa Fe has jurisdiction on that, so they're conducting an investigation, and then they'll decide whether their driver committed any violations and make a decision.
It is the largest amount of corn I've ever seen in one place.
I heard there was 30 plus ambulances there.
Yeah. Because there were 208 passengers on the train, the county uses a triage system or a mass casualty. So with that many passengers on a train, it went to tier two. So the notifications are made, and then basically all of the ambulance start in the county start heading that direction. Mm. And I believe we transported 38 victims. There were very few that were actually seriously injured because the speed of the train, the weight of the train running into the box, the car, mm. the grain truck, it's probably like hitting a speed bump a little too fast or, you know, a small fender bender, just the momentum.
Any questions or comments from the public for Chief Burris? Chief, thank you very much. Appreciate the report.
And I will work on my speech.
Can you share your coffee machine with the Sheriff's Department? Just kidding.
Rick, can we pull that podium forward a little bit?
Get that podium. Yeah. The podium sucks.
Please.
Can we get rid
of the
podium?
Yeah.
Thank
you. We could hear the chief, we just couldn't see him.
ECCFPD did have a meeting on Monday. Typically, I would be attending that, but there was a conflict in schedule for me, and I was not able to attend that meeting, so there is no report from them unless there's somebody here that has a report from them. Okay. Karen, are you here? Karen. Hi, Karen.
Good evening. First off, lots is still going on Vasco Road. The Vasco Safety Improvement Project Phase 1 is still going very well. I talked to staff from Public Works today, and they anticipate shifting the lanes of traffic to either sides of the concrete barrier in mid-October. And we are currently looking for funding for the Phase 2 project. We are applying for a grant, the Tiger Grant. Applications are due on the 30th, I believe. So we will be coming to you for a possible letter of support for Vasco Safety Improvement Phase 2 funding. We do have several openings on our committees, including the Aviation Advisory Committee, a seat on the Economic Opportunity Council, and the East Contra Costa Fire Protection District does have a seat that is appointed by the Board of Supervisors. And lastly, at Tuesday's board meeting, the board proclaimed next week, October 9th through the 15th, Fire Protection Week. The theme of the week for 2011 is Fire Prevention Week, Protect Your Family from Fire. And we ask all to become educated on the leading causes of home fires and how to protect your home and family with life-saving technologies. That is it.
Any questions for the board, for the supervisor's office? And from the public, any questions for the board, for the supervisor's office, excuse me.
The open board seat for the fire district, how come that has not been advertised or the public has not been made aware that that seat's been open now since the middle of September, I believe?
I believe it was the end of September, and it has been noticed by the clerk of the board with proper notification.
No outreach. I mean, it wasn't in the local paper. The person who resigned told me he resigned effective the 14th of September. And I read the local paper all the time. I haven't seen anything in the paper about that.
We can't choose what the newspapers pick up, but I can say it was posted vacant the day it was vacant by the Board of Supervisors.
And do you have ample applicants going forward?
I don't know what the clerk of the board has received. I believe to date there hasn't been any applications, but
has the supervisor stepped in? Since this has been absent several times, does the supervisor step in to participate or to observe in the absence of any representation for this area?
I have been at every single fire meeting except for one, so I do take everything back to her.
Thank you, Karen.
Thank you.
One more.
One question. I thought that was on the agenda for the IOC meeting today.
There was a special IOC meeting called for a different appointment, and they did put it on the agenda in case any applications came in for interviews. It will be on another IOC agenda as well.
Okay. Thank you, Karen. Appreciate it. Committee reports. Is there anybody here that has reports to make from any of our committees? Transplan, county planning?
Code enforcement was canceled.
code enforcement, or no special district. Anyone? Nope. Okay. Moving on to item E, consent calendar.
I'll make a motion to approve the consent calendar.
I'll second that motion.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion by the board? Any comments from the public? Not hearing any. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? The motion carries unanimously. On to our action items. One. Who's going to, is this yours, staff, or is this Virgil's?
Yeah, I can handle it. Mr. President, members of the board, public. Last year, you recall that the county of Contra Costa County did a road rehabilitation project here in Discovery Bay. They covered, as part of that process, they either covered up or left a number of our manholes uneven with the pavement between, in some cases, between 1 and 3 inches below pavement surface. And so what we're doing tonight is bringing you a recommendation to approve with JW Backo a total cost amount of $18,950 to raise 17 manholes and four water valve covers. Virgil's gone ahead and identified each of those, put them in a bid spec sheet, sent them out. We did receive two bids. We sent it to four different companies. As you can see by the bid sheet, we had one from Conco West for $62,200 and the other one from JW Backo for $29,600. The cost of each manhole is about $950 and each water valve is about $400. That's pretty consistent with industry standards. The other cost was way out of line. Staff does recommend that we go ahead and move forward with raising those manholes as part of this project. Some of the manholes, if you drive around town, you've seen there's red circles around, red paint around them, and there's red paint around pavement in some cases because the manholes are completely covered up. So if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them.
Director Sonner.
Do we have any recourse to the vendor that did the paving or the county?
No, the county owns the roads. We own the infrastructure relative to our manholes and our water valves. That's pretty standard that when in most cases, the community that owns the roads owns the water and sewer as well. In this case, it's different. We're unincorporated, but yet we do that. We do own the water and wastewater facilities, and therefore we're responsible for them. It's an unfortunate situation.
Is that a result of sloppy workmanship, or is this just a two-part project?
No, it's not sloppy workmanship. What they do is when they put the cap on the asphalt, they raise it up. They actually raise the asphalt up. And what you need to do is you need to raise the manholes, and there are rings that are made that go up in incremental, like a half inch, quarter inch, to 3 inches, 4 inches in some cases. And you purchase those rings and have them installed, and you raise your manholes covers up. You want the manhole covers and the valve covers to be flush with the street. One, to protect our facilities, and two, to protect the integrity, the long-term integrity of the roadway.
Director Director Tetra? I just have a clarification.
And one last thing, this is a budgeted item. It did go before, it was part of the budget.
Understood. I just have clarification because you mentioned two different numbers, and I do believe that you initially talked only about phase one. Are we approving both phases of this project?
No, we didn't know what the numbers were going to come in as. We only have funding. We budgeted $20,000, and so the phase one are the ones that are in the most dire situation where they're the deepest, if you will, and they need to be raised up or they're completely covered. Phase two, there's 17 more. We didn't have the budgeted funds in order to complete phase two, so we didn't bring phase two forward.
Thank you for that clarification. Any discussion from the public?
Yeah,
sir, please come to the podium when you speak.
As the roads are paved, can you not put the rings on as they go up and have that done at that time? And why do you need new manhole covers? Now you have them.
We don't need new manhole covers, but we need the flanges around them need to be replaced so you can, they attach to the existing structure and they raise them up. It's like a ring.
And this can't be done as the street's paved and raised, can't that go up at the time?
It would actually have nothing to do with the paving, it would cost the same thing. You would have to remove the manhole and put it in.
Do you want to address that, Virgil?
Yeah, just so we don't get too far whack here. On a sewer main, especially with vehicles driving, a garbage truck or a fire truck is a good example of 70,000 to 80,000 pounds when they run over their sewer covers. If we were to just put the metal frame there with asphalt around it, generally on a hot day, the asphalt softens up. That metal ring will slide over a little bit here and there. Hence why you see some days, after a very hot day, you see a little waves in the road and the asphalt because it had got hot and something heavy had pushed that aside. Generally what we do is we pour concrete. We have to dig that out, reset the concrete in, and then we pour another 2 inches of asphalt to match it. We generally raise that cover, the manhole lid, a quarter of an inch higher than the current grade. So it is going over. So the next time you do a seal coat, it'll come very close to that.
Thank you. Any other comments or questions about this item?
I'd like to make a motion.
Hold on, you have a question?
We have a question? Oh.
You know, the county pays the road, and as far as I can see, it should be your responsibility. You wouldn't be spending any money on anything if they hadn't raised the grade of the road for their overlay. The other thing is, you've got two parts of this project. Why would we throw away good prices for doing phase two when it's only $10,000 over your budget? And I've seen this board many times go way more than that over budget on various things. And I would suggest that you actually approve phase one and two and get the whole thing fixed at once rather than come back and bid it again later when you have the money and you're going to pay a lot more for the second phase.
Thank you for those comments. Do you want to address those, Virgil?
We have actually a lot more than just those out there. So we pick a few every year. Because of the paving last year, we have some that are set that are deeper than they should be. And so as a safety thing, so it doesn't jar your teeth out as you drive over them, we've elected to just select a few. There are more. Next year, we will do some more.
Typically, when we have quite a history with JW Backcourt, in fact, a pretty good history, they do a lot of work for us. It's pretty much a unit price cost on this stuff, right? I mean, it's not like they're going to...
Generally, and it depends on depends on the city, on their specs, and how they want them done. Some cities want even your water valve covers to have cement on the outside of it. We don't spec that as a requirement.
Okay, thank you. Are you preparing for something, Rick? Oh, so then I guess I would entertain a motion.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion that we approve to accept JW Backhoe's bid of $18,950 for this project.
I'll second that.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Last chance for discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. I would invite Farron up to talk to us about item number two. Hello, Farron.
Hi. All right, I'm...
We get some lights. Thanks, girl.
This is
going to
sound
kind of bad. Oh, I can't see.
No, no, I'm sorry.
Got Mark.
Okay. Okay, so last year we added some holiday lighting at the front entrance of Highway 4 and Discovery Bay Boulevard. It got a very good response from the public and I think the board at the time. If we are going to add to our holiday decorating at our entrances, it's the time to discuss it and to make some decisions is now so that it's prepared and we can have everything ordered. I brought quite a few options to you. wasn't really sure which direction to go with it, if it was something we wanted to do. So they vary in price and design. So the first one on the list of holiday decorations is actually just the holiday lighting itself. We purchased it last year, so there is no purchase cost for the string lighting. It is one of the most expensive items to install, though, so we have an installation cost this year of $1,300 to put these back up. That also includes our annual storage and removal at the end of that. They store it, they remove it, we don't deal with it at all. The second, all right, options 2 and A are the first items I'm kind of bringing forward that we might be able to purchase. These are diamond snowflakes. They're 3 feet, and they're typically made for light poles, but you can install them on our palm trees. And so that was the idea of this, is that they would light up behind the wall, so that where you don't see anything on those palm trees, you could put varying snowflakes in the air. So that you would have white snowflakes above the air, above the walls. They strap to the trees so there's no damage, and this is the looks of both of these. There's two different options. They vary in price. Again, your biggest upfront cost is just the purchasing of these. They're LED, they're gonna last a long time, they're low cost. All of our options that light up are LED. And next year, after they're purchased, you know, you're only looking at $85 per one to put up and take down and store. So very minimal cost going forward with it. The second item is palm tree garland. This is something separate that we're just kind of considering down the 6 trees on the center island. I did bring pictures of them, but I'm a little afraid to switch anything right now because it's not working. But the garland is really thick, big garland. It's commercial grade. You see it it's bright. You see it during the day. So it's not something that you need to wait for at night. This is something that you'll see all day long, and they'll wrap it from the top, and it'll just be down to 6 in the center. Again, upfront purchasing and then low installation and storage costs from there forward. Last year, we did put some bows up on our urns. They did all right for the season. They're not commercial grade. We can't use them again. These types of boats, and they're not as large as this. Again, we're just, if this is an option we want to do, have a long-term bow, something we put away and put back year after year, something a little bit bigger, here's an option. Lighted trees, if we want to go that way. I kind of didn't bring anything forth with the typical Christmas tree. If we had the white holiday lighting, I thought that this might be something different for us. So we don't really have any trees up front that we can light, like you see in Brentwood, their streets. And so this, I thought, had a similar look to a landscape lighted tree, but without the typical Christmas tree. This is the big ticket item. I had to bring it forward because it was really cool. But this is, it's actually really huge. It's a really expensive LED animated display. And the Santa actually goes across and the jet ski moves over, jumps over the waves and over the happy holidays. And it just seemed fitting. So I thought I'd show it. It is huge, yes. Also, along the top of the wall, where we have the boats on either side, we had thought about maybe doing some swags or the wreaths. This is an option. Then you have another, if you don't like the, you could do stars and put bows in between them instead. So those are two different options, same thing, back wall above where the boat is on the front. And banners. We have gotten permission to put banners up, thank you, Kevin, for on this side of town, for Discovery Bay Boulevard. We are still working with the county on allowing us to put banners up on Bixler Road. It looks like it'll probably happen, but there's some things that we have to do. So if we've talked about banners in the past, if we want to do holiday banners or even at the end Town of Discovery Bay banners and then switch out, you know, maybe do some doubles down the center and switch out one Town of Discovery Bay and do something seasonal, we could have this as a permanent option that we have, not just holiday. I mean, we could take this throughout the year. So I'm basically just looking for direction on if you guys like these ideas, if you want to add to our holiday decorations, if you guys want to go the banner direction, what your thoughts are.
What zone in the budget would this come from?
This is zone 8.
Zone 8.
Unless, if we do, if the county approved, if we went banners, that would be different zone on Bixler Road. But all, everything else at the front entrance is zone 8.
Well, I hate to be the...
go ahead, Scrooge.
I hate to be the Scrooge of the group. after the budget battle we just fought this year, and we're putting a raise on everybody's water, we've already got the lighting. We spend the same amount of money every year to put this lighting up in the front. I'm hard-pressed to vote to approve anything that costs thousands of dollars for a three-week period.
Yeah.
I don't want to be the one who traps it up, but I'm dead against it. To me, people come into Discovery Bay, they see all the lights across, they see the trees, and they go, your town is beautiful. And if they don't see banners coming down and Santa's running over waves, I think they're going to be okay. I'm in favor of the original lights across the front that we've used every year, and that's all I'm in favor of.
For clarification, the funding is completely different than anything that we had any water rate hikes or anything else or any raises from.
No, it comes out of the same funds.
That's Prop 218 money?
No.
It comes out of Zone 8.
Where does it come from?
Zone 8.
It's a landscaping.
It's a landscaping budget.
It's not.
Not a water, wastewater budget.
The front entrance.
Yeah.
Yes. But that doesn't, it doesn't diminish what you're saying. Yeah. I just want to clarify where the funds are coming from. That's all.
Hard to take.
We're kind of missing your picture metaphors.
I'd be to have a tough time taking Zone 8's money and spend 18 grand putting a Santa Claus on.
Now you say it correctly.
And I'm going to be hard pressed to put up a Wonderland tree for $5,500 for it.
Ray, do you have any other comments different from that? Or any comments, I'm sorry. Do you have any comment?
Even though it's coming out of Zone 8, we have a ton of landscaping that needs it all year, all the time. I mean, you can't tell me that you couldn't take the same money and put it in the good use on landscaping projects. We're taking money away from landscaping projects, are we not, on this?
Let me ask you this. Is there money budgeted for this in Zone 8?
We have money in a special fund.
How much?
$12,000? It's for special expenses through the year, which includes our Christmas lights and some other things.
What else would be special for?
Our opening event for Cornell Park, things that are...
Mm-hmm.
If I may, the idea here is to try and solicit input from the board, but knowing that we do have funds budgeted for things such as this, with respect to whether or not it would pull away from landscaping needs, I'm certain you can make that argument, but on the other hand, we're also working to about the best of our abilities in terms of our staffing and our capabilities as we have going right now. We're working on Discovery Bay Boulevard, coming up the boulevard right now. We just finished the other part from Fruitwood down to Country Club. Cornell Park was recently completed. So we do have a lot of, Farron does have a lot of balls in the air, and this is just one of those things that we thought we would like to seek input from the board. Because we think that, from the staff perspective, we believe that it would make a more enjoyable entrance to the community, a little bit more festive over the holidays, and it's just something we wanted to go ahead and bring to you and get your input from.
Director Steele?
Yeah, I'm in favor of option 7 or 8.
Which are about the same, well, a little bit more.
About $3,000.
Yeah. Comments, Director Dawson?
I loved what we did last year with the lights. I'd definitely like to see those again. The banners, not holiday banners, but banners that we could use year-round when the banners that are up come down, which I hope they never do, by the way. But if we did have some kind of banner, I mean, I would be in support of that if it wasn't just a 3-week period of time. If we had some kind of banner that could be up most of the year, I really like the way the banners look.
Is it really 3 weeks?
No. We would put it up the beginning of November and take it down the second of January.
It's over two months.
And really what we were thinking was that we would just do three poles, double-sided. One would have a town logo and one would be holiday logo. And then in spring, we could have spring something that half of one side would switch out.
So you're thinking about those three poles that are right out in front of the steakhouse that have double banners on them currently?
Yes.
Okay. I happen to know a little bit about banners. I don't see installation costs on here for banners. Is there? Does that take some?
It's $65 per install on there. Well, there's two things. The first one is the banner itself, and then they charge you $140 for the hardware.
Sure.
And so total with the banner and hardware installation first time around, it's $315. Every time they switch it after that, it's $65 every time they come and switch it.
Oh, okay. So these quotes are from a company that does the whole package.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. Well, I got it. Where's the cost of the banner is then at the far end?
Yeah, the
$175?
The banner itself, the actual just the vinyl part of the banner, it's $110 about each. And then the hardware is $140. Then you're buying the hardware once, and if you switch out the banners, you know, those.
What? How big is the banner? Do you know what the
I want to say it's 96 inches by
3 feet.
I can't remember the
width,
but I think 96 tall.
I'm going to get caught up in details. I don't want to do that. So we will talk about some of those things in the future, maybe. But the staff is looking for guidance. We've heard several different opinions. Does anybody want to make a motion? Do we want to discuss this further? I'd like to hear from the public,
yeah,
please.
I would
like
to.
Step to the podium.
Please.
Hey,
I've
got a vision problem for the next month, so if you've got something to say, your best bet is to walk forward and do it.
Baron, are you going to do the really pretty fake poinsettias that you put in the urns? The one that didn't you put those up?
We
last
did,
year?
Yeah, we still have them. They didn't survive. I mean, I have to get some more.
Well, they're not as expensive as some of these other things.
No, but I have to replace them. And that's kind of why we went this option, is because at the end of the season last year, we went out and everything was kind of just weather torn. Mm-hmm. We're not really going to be able to put them back up and have them look as nice as they did, you know, last mm-hmm. year. So that would be a continual purchase every year. Yes, it would be smaller, but it will not last. Mm-hmm. And I have to get up there and I have to put them in, and I did that. I don't want to do that. And so I'm looking for a company. This company provides, it's commercial grade. They've been in business for 20 years. They still have stuff that they purchased with their customers 20 years ago that they're coming back and installing. So it's a different quality product.
And my only other comment is, you took those lights down too soon. I'd like to see those lights just stay up all year round.
Okay, thank you. Any other comments from the public? This one, it looks like you might be doing this. I suggest something that would be more lines, the green lines, where you could reuse and reuse and reuse. Yeah. Something was mentioned about bows that can't be reused. So if you can maybe 4 or 5 years on the lifespan might be more affordable. Thank you. I think you said that was
in the future
would be commercial grade, and we had an issue with that.
Everything that I've presented to
understood.
You is
long-term. Mr. Barber.
I was just going to say the items we purchased last year, the poinsettias and those types of things, those were purchased more for residential use, not for the commercial outside long-term
well.
Use. So that's the reason
well.
Why they didn't fare so well.
Thank you, Mr. Barber.
I think what was done last year looked fine. I think it sends the wrong message to spend tax money just because it might be in a budget or on a budget line that says it could be spent. But these days, I think this board needs to look at every tax dollar as a scarce dollar. If that dollar could be used in the future for something more permanent, that's more usable by the entire community all year, many years over, I think that's the best place for tax dollars these days especially. And I think whatever was done last year, by my opinion, looked fine, and I think spending no more money on any more types of additional decorations would be fine.
Any other comments? Okay. I would entertain anybody's motion or guidance or no action at this point. What do you guys want to do?
I think we should at least, I think we're all in consensus with just the lights at least, so we should at least go in that direction.
Oh, I'm sorry. Is that going to need to take action on the board?
Okay. Then forget it.
Personally, adding some color wouldn't bother me much, but I'm, you know.
Sorry.
I'll go buy some poinsettias. I'm going to go buy some poinsettias. I'll put them out there. I'm all right with that.
Can I make a recommendation?
Yeah, why don't you do that, staff?
Farron's suggesting item number 4. I think...
If you want the same look that you had last year...
Those were wore out.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry. The center wall hungry swag.
Can you go back to that picture?
I'm sorry. Are you done?
I wanted to go back to that picture. If you can imagine this, if you will, over where that center. Pick where the center bow is, where the boat currently is on our wall.
Yes.
I think that for relatively minimal cost, that would eliminate the issue that we have with purchasing decorations that don't sustain themselves from a long-term aspect. We purchase them and we have to throw them away basically because they're meant for household use, not outdoor use. And that in the future years, we'd be looking at a very nominal cost of only $185 to install it. Now, granted, it's a little bit more the first year we do something like this, but in subsequent years, it would certainly be much less.
What are you talking about?
Item number 7. I'm
option
sorry, Ray.
Option 7.
Option number 7. And that would cover the walls, and I think would complement quite nicely the the existing lighting.
So you're saying, Rick, just for clarification, then, and I don't know that the audience all has this or not, but it would basically kind of go from here to here.
Yeah, over the center.
Is
yes,
that what you're talking about?
Center.
Kind of just across that upper rounded area.
Mm-hmm. I it won't go. All the way across, but it would center.
It'd be centered on the boat.
Over the boat, yeah. And if price isn't it, you know, we don't have to do both sides. We can say we're going to do one this year and maybe one next year, spread out the cost.
That's what we do.
And just keep them and have that be our holiday lighting.
The price of $3,500 is for just the center?
For two.
For two.
For two, each side.
So we're going to just.
$1,700.
So we're going to do half that. $1,700. If you just do the center.
If you just do one.
One
wall. It looks like that.
Why would you do just? You can't just do one. It's not symmetrical. You have to.
No, I mean that whole thing is option 7. So
that whole thing is 7.
The option I was presenting to you is to do two. So if you do one on each side of the entrances.
Yeah.
Okay. Just out of curiosity, the LED charge is what?
The LED charges is everything is typically stocked and built with the C7 bulb, and we
oh,
don't
great.
Have.
Okay.
Okay.
Pretty bright.
All right.
Understood. Thank you.
It's hard for me to make this. I mean, I'm not totally against this. I think it would look great, but it's hard for me to make a decision on it without knowing. You know, I mean, how long will it last? I mean, what are those kind of details?
There are warranties on the products at least 5 years, but. What they've, and I asked the same thing, and they said that they are continuing to bring stuff back over the last 20 years. That this stuff lasts, it's really good grade. You know, they take care of it, they put it down, they store it all year in a warehouse, it's taken care of.
I'd like to make a motion.
Go ahead.
I'll make a motion that we take item one as previous year.
I'll second that.
Okay, the motion's been made and seconded for item one. Any discussion by the board? Well, we have to address one motion at a time. All those in favor of the motion on the table, any discussion, any further discussion by anybody, board or public on this? Thank you. All those in favor of option one only, indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? No.
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 Motion does not carry. Is there an alternate motion?
Yep. I'd like to make a motion that we select item 1 and item 9A and 9B.
Okay. There's another motion on the floor. Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion?
Come on up. I'd just like to know what options we're talking about.
Well, sure. Oh, you guys don't have...
I don't have the handout.
Well, it's in the agenda.
We don't have anything on the cost or nothing.
I'm going to just wait until the next meeting.
Oh.
Which one is it?
Nine
whole banners.
Oh, the banners. As long as we're in discussion, Baron, do you...
$3,780.
Right. And think that those, that's closer price. Okay. Do you have a preference? Oh, well, I guess it doesn't matter. Okay. So we have a motion on the floor, and I believe it's been seconded. Is that correct? Do you want to amend your motion?
Yeah, I'm going to amend my motion. I'm going to go back to 1 and 7.
Okay, the motion, actually, would you withdraw your first motion?
Yeah, I'll withdraw my motion.
And would you withdraw your second? Thank you. There's a new motion on the floor.
I'd like to have a motion that we approve item 1 and item 7 options.
I will second that.
Okay, any discussion on those items? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Opposed.
Opposed.
Okay, motion was 3-2. The record will reflect the vote count, please. And the motion carries. Thank you, Fern.
Thank you.
Okay, let me get back to the fun stuff. Item 3. Discussion and direction for future dog park. Staff.
Yeah, I'm going to just go ahead and throw that over to Farron.
Thanks.
We're bringing this to you tonight. We, in the budgets for Zone 8 this year, we had approved some funding for a dog park to go into Cornell Park. There's been some issues with the locations that we can use in Cornell Park, and so we've tried to identify some other areas within Discovery Bay that might also work for a dog park. Some of the areas include the Willow Lake Island along Willow Lake Road, which is past Cornell Park. We don't have to take Cornell Park off the options yet, but we're also looking at Slifer Park and the Park and Ride landscape area. We've kind of had some discussions with special districts because Slifer and the Park and Ride is still county owned, so they understand that we're having this discussion and considering those sites. What we'd like to do, or what I'd like to do, is have an architect come in and do some conceptual plans. I have a proposal from Bruce Jett and Associates, who's done some work for us in the past, for $4,800 to do three conceptual plans, including boards, so that we can bring them back to a large community meeting regarding the dog park and any of the people, invite the people of the areas that would be affected by these dog parks. If we are going to go with a county location, that's going to be something that they're going to want us to do regardless. We will have to have a public meeting and information and start the background on that.
Well, I think that would be the best way to handle it, no matter if it's their park or our park.
Yes.
To get and I appreciate that's what you're saying. I appreciate that. So what are we to do with this on the agenda tonight?
Well, because we had already approved the dog park and the funding at Cornell Park, I'm kind of backtracking a little bit and asking if that's okay, that we take a step back and look at some other locations and talk to the community about it a little bit more before we move forward with any designs or start spending money in an area that might be an issue.
Okay. This would take, Council, help me out here. We made a motion to do something that we need to change or what?
If I may, I believe what she is requesting is that you select a location, then she would begin.
No. Actually, to give her more, I believe to give her a broader.
Yeah, I guess we wanted to have a discussion about the fact that we were doing this and we didn't want to just go do it without telling you. And that plans have kind of changed, and if you had any direction for me before talking to an architect, or you don't like any of those locations and don't even waste your time, yeah, that's the kind of input I'm looking for.
Okay. Go ahead.
The three of us went out and we looked at all through all these sites we did the other day, and the one that I would not want to waste any money on all is Willow Lake, is the island there, because the main reason there was no parking. Mm-hmm. Even if the dog park came out terrific, the people living in those houses are going to go berserk on Saturday morning.
Well, let me ask you this. You spent time with the landscape committee, correct, out here looking at some of these? Did you give her guidance at that point of kind of what you
thought? Well, we decided to let the board talk about it.
Oh, okay.
We kind of looked at our preferences. The park we liked, the park and ride was kind of iffy. We kind of liked it. And I agree that we should look further into what it's going to look like and what will fit in there. I mean, we should give you direction to go further with it. Mm-hmm. But I don't think I'd waste the money on the islands. I really don't think that one's going to come to fruition.
Director Simon, can you make a recommendation to the board since you did the landscaping on how you think we should proceed with the plan?
I would recommend at this point that we go ahead and do the study. You're going to get boards for both of them?
Well, we can still consider, we can keep Cornell on there if we want to still have that open option. We can put Slifer and the park and ride, and again, the cost of this of the conceptual designs would be split equally among the zones.
We looked at Slifer.
Yes.
What was the general consensus?
The general consensus of Slifer was, if you recall, we were out there and there were about three or four people walking their dogs.
Yeah, we liked it.
And we felt the same way about Cornell, and we felt the same way about the park and ride. The difficulty, as Farron indicated with Cornell, is that it's a difficult location. It's like there's homes right up against it. You don't have that issue at Slifer.
Slifer, we were going to move something to make it fit. Something was going to be moved.
Nothing existing would be moved, but we had previously discussed putting in pickleball courts at that location, which has not started in design yet. So if we did a dog park, and it would be right over that, and we'd have to reconsider where we put the pickleball courts.
Rather than get into too much detail at this point, I think it'd be best for you to bring back a recommendation, including those three locations. But Chris, I believe you have some comments?
I just want to look into the Cornell Park being a leash-free park, a dog park, and establish that without boundary and without fence. And I know there's places in Berkeley and other cities that have these parks, and I just look at what the, you know, how does that operate?
I don't think because the county has jurisdiction, and this is a leash county. I don't think you can do that.
I believe he's correct.
Okay. Director Dawson.
I agree with Director Simon. I think the island, I went and looked at it, and it just doesn't seem feasible. You know, I think each location has its pros and cons, but for me, the most important thing is that we do some outreach and get the people who did come in here requesting a dog park and make sure they're part of the process.
Okay, so as I'm hearing things, the board would like to give direction for recommendation of the landscape committee to look into some different locations instead of specific location, Cornell only. Oh, comments from the public. I'm sorry. Apologize. Well, when, okay, you're right.
From what I'm understanding, you're saying those of us that live out there in Lakeshore and the lakes would be paying for this park if it was to go into Slaver? Because basically, that's the zone that it's in.
Nothing's being paid for yet.
You're saying that the study would be divided between the three zones, right?
Yes.
Well, then we're paying for part of the study. I'm totally opposed to anything that takes money out of Zone 61 for other than landscaping. Right now, that area is used by people for hitting their balls to their kids, for throwing balls around, for doing a lot of different things, while including walking their dogs. And to put any kind of thing that disturbs the green area, the wide open area, which is one of the few spaces we have that's open for multiple purposes, is a waste of money. And it's not landscaping.
It's recreation.
Thank you. Any other comments? Please come forward.
Thank you very much. I'll be brief, I promise. Thank you guys for doing what you do. I appreciate it. Anyway, the reason I'm up here tonight is I want to advocate for the Slaver Park area, for the dog park. And the reason for that is my background is actually, I'm a police officer for the city of Oakland, and I actually worked as a problem-solving officer, which one of the big things that we did was a dog park and helped reduce crime along Martin Luther King by 80%. Actually, we put this was a little bit different of a location, and the reason I bring this up is because of the location of Slaver. It's almost identical to the Martin Luther King site. Is I have a disc here. I don't know if we can load this. It'll take us 20 seconds to look at it, even if we're, or you guys can look at it later.
Yeah.
Submit it to landscape and they'll take a look at it.
Can I give it to you?
Thank you.
The background, the borders surrounding Slaver is minimal to the housing. So my house happens to be right behind Cornell Park, so the waste, the urine, the dander, all that stuff would be going right in my yard, and it would be a huge inconvenience to us. My dog would go nuts. I mean, I'm sure you guys can imagine. We all own homes here. The park in Martin Luther King is very successful because of the fact that the community got involved and they did it right. They went to the neighbors, they talked to everybody, and everything went in perfectly. And I just want to make sure that we're doing the same things here in our town as they do in Oakland. And there's a horror story that goes with that, is they tried to piggyback off of that and put another one in North Oakland. It cost the city $50,000 and then undisclosed some kind of lawsuit. So that one went ugly. I know we're short on time. I was going to get into that, but I'm not going to go. I know your time is important here. But Cornell Park is used by everybody. I mean, that thing has, the field is, they squabble over the amount of field usage there, because there's always either soccer, it's softball, something is going on out there. And to put a dog park out there would probably increase, it might even increase some of the liability, some other things that are going on. Some of the leash-free areas, I know that was something that was being discussed, but, and City of Berkeley does have that. I don't know if you guys wanted to discuss that with the county. I wouldn't recommend that, only because of the incidents that we've had out there where the dogs have attacked other dogs. And then if somebody attacks, if that dog goes and bites a person, and it's on the books that the town sanctioned an off-leash park, I don't think that would be such a good idea. One of the things about Cornell as well is it's so close to not only the houses, but the tennis players that are out there. So even if you are picking up the feces and everything else, you still have the urine and the pet dander that's going to be blowing all over the place out there. Slaver Park actually has the wetlands right next to it that can absorb a lot of this. You've got an in-place ecosystem that can absorb some of the, even the stuff that's left behind, the waste, the runoff, so forth. I just want to plant that seed, get that out there, and thank you guys again for everything that you do.
Thank you. Appreciate your comments.
My contact information is on here if you guys have any questions.
Thank you for taking the time.
I've got a comment about that comment.
Well, I'm sorry, sir, but you've already had your comment on this subject, so who else has a comment, please?
Hi, so I'm Karen Murphy, and I'm part-time up here, but I love to come to the meetings when I'm here. I even plan coming up on Wednesdays. So anyway, you were asking about off-leash, and my other home is in Santa Clara County, and I also participate in local meetings there, too, in the city of Saratoga, and we grappled with this same issue as well. And one idea was to have designated off-leash hours. Challenges with enforcement, but it makes it so that people know that there's going to be dogs off-leash at certain times, and so people that would normally, maybe joggers or tennis players, might avoid the park for that hour or so very early in the morning. But I know there's some boot camp going on, etc. But we also have a very complicated permit process, so if people want to use the park for group activities such as you know, boot camps or tennis lessons, etc., then you know who's using the park. And I don't know that we have that here at Discovery Bay. But anyway, just want to bring up the idea that you could designate certain hours as off-leash, and it's been successful in some places.
Great. Thank you.
Hello, good evening, directors and president. I'd like to reiterate what the previous gentleman talked about as far as the sports and activities that go on at the Cornell Park. I'm also a neighbor of the Cornell Park. And almost every day there's baseball out there, there's soccer teams out there. And just like the gentleman said, there's people fighting for space and locations of that park for their sports. So I don't think an off-leash policy or whatever would work. Also, the proposed location would be on my backyard as well. And I have the same concerns as the previous gentleman about the smells, the feces. Also, the noise, the additional traffic, not only dog barking, people yelling at their animals. Just a little bit of information. The dog park in Antioch, the closest home on the off of that dog park is 60 yards away. The park in Brentwood, I think the closest home is 40 yards away from that dog park. So we're just basically asking that we really be part of the discussion. And that, you know, we don't want a dog park right in our backyard. And we don't feel that Cornell Park is even large enough to put one there, and, you know, far enough away from everybody's homes to make it safe and viable. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your comments. Any other comments from the public? Okay, Director Simon, did you have something to say?
I was listening to some of the comments from some of the homeowners, and I want to assure you, we spent quite a bit of time out there. Nothing is going to be done here. We looked at each location, and we played devil's advocate. The first one we walked up, I looked at it and said, the homes are too close, or this is too close.
Thank you.
The goal of spending this money is not to make the community mad. It's to give the community something that they want. So our goal is to go out there, to look at the best possible scenario, and then we're going to take it to the residents of the community. Mm-hmm. They can come give us their views on it, and then we're going to weigh everything that's said. And then we're going to go forward from there. If none of the spots are feasible, it isn't going to get built.
I would think that the landscape committee is working pretty hard on this, and I imagine they're going to come back to the board and say, "Hey, we want to have an open forum. It'll be on a Saturday afternoon or something."
They already asked for it.
Okay, and we will keep your eyes on the website, so you make sure that you're notified of that, and we'll get it in the paper, and we'll make sure that the notices get out in plenty of time, and. You know, there's contingencies from both sides, and obviously location is going to be the big discussion point. But I just have a clarification. I'm a little confused from the standpoint of on leash, off leash. Inside the dog park, it's going to be off leash, correct?
Yeah. Because it's fenced in.
Yeah. Okay. You were talking about making the whole park off. The whole park off leash. Okay.
Even though we're
already. I'm clear now. Any other comments with regards to this matter? Then I think what I hear is that we would like you to move forward with looking at the alternate locations, bring us your pros and cons, work closely with the directors that are on your committee, and bring back to the board. Ray, I'm sorry.
Can I just interject?
Sure.
We're not going to spend any money on plans until after we do a little bit more research.
I'm actually looking for our hoping to go forward with some conceptuals, which are much cheaper than plans, that would have boards so that we have a public meeting with an idea of what this is going to look like, so that it can help us decide what kind of location and where we're going to go forward. I don't want to go to a public meeting and just say it's over at Slifer and not have anything to show them on what it would look like after it was completed.
If we do get a plan, I mean, I would like to hope the committee could come down to one location, which to me looks Slifer, seems like the most logical place to put it. It's away from everything. I think it fits.
Well,
but I don't want to see a bunch of plans done.
Okay. Director Dawson.
I'd like to make a motion that we have Farron get three concepts from the ones that we have advised on, not to exceed 4,500.
48. I amend that 4,800. I'm sorry. But if we do Cornell instead, or if we're doing three, if we pull Cornell, it would be cheaper.
I mean,
you guys could direct that now that we only look at two sites.
Yeah, I was just going to ask if I could change it, if we could change the motion. I would leave.
Okay, hold on. We'll withdraw your motion for
time. I withdraw my motion.
We're not done with discussion yet. No. Go ahead, Director Simon.
I would make it Slifer and
Parking Garage.
It's going to be one of the two of those. If the residents are in favor of that, it's going to be one of the two of those. When the three of us went in and we looked, the other park's not going to work. I mean, the houses are right on top of it. People that have fences, who have dogs on the other side of the fence, the dogs are going to go crazy with other dogs out there. You can't do that. So
we would put it right in the middle of the park. Yeah. The only reason to put it in that doesn't work because it can destroy all the recreation.
What would it cost us to look at just two of them?
I'm guessing less than $40. But
well, around 3,500.
Yeah.
It was 40. Okay, it was 4,500.
About 40.
So I mean, I would if Director Dawson wants to change his motion, he can change his motion if he wants.
35.
That would be plenty.
I'm sorry.
Staff, yes. Gosh, this night's going on forever.
I understand where you're going with this, and if you can give us the latitude to
just bring us two conceptual plans.
Come back with two plans. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to cost. It'll be less than $4,800.
Yes.
And we can go there, and I will keep you apprised.
All right.
Do you have any other input, Director?
We understand the
input. I like the 12 lots.
Like what?
The 12 lots is a good spot, too.
So we're showing you motion?
Nice.
Got to use a fence, right? Or we got the fence.
Okay, so make a motion to direct staff to bring back two concepts as directed, excluding Cornell. I'm not going to put the limit on there.
I'll second it.
Okay, the motion's been made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Unanimous.
Thank you.
Item 4. This should be simple.
Again, this is the Farron show this evening, so Farron.
It is very simple. I'm just bringing forth to accept the contract work performed by Community Playgrounds on the Cornell Park playground renovation. This is for the phase two work only. This included the installation of the playgrounds itself and the poured in place safety surfacing. Part of that would be approval to our direction to record the notice of the completion and then release their retention 35 days thereafter.
That sounded like a pretty well described motion there. Does anybody want
to? I'll be happy to make that motion. I'll make the motion that we accept the contract work performed by Community Playgrounds with construction completion with the Cornell Park Play Area Renovation Phase 2 project.
I'll second that.
Okay, any discussion from the public? Hearing none, and that would be to include the notice of completion, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Amend my motion to include the notice of completion.
All, and the second's amended?
Sure.
Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed? Thank you. Hey, Farron, again, great job on that playground stuff. It's nice, bright.
Fantastic.
It's really great. You know, I guess I'll digress just for a moment and say that, you know, we kind of hashed out this holiday deal a bunch because it was a little bit of money, and but you know when I started on this board almost 2 years ago, a big part of it was we need to enhance the beauty and the appearance of Discovery Bay, and so I think that is valid in saying that that's what we're trying to do here, and you've done a fine job with that at Cornell Park. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
5. Who's handling this piece of the information? Staff?
Yes, thank you. Mr. President, members of the board, I'm bringing this to you this evening to discuss staff seeking direction regarding a piece of property that's currently for sale. It's the Discovery Bay Athletic Club site right next door to us. It's about 10 plus or minus acres. It has come up recently at our community center committee meeting as a potential site. In fact, the number one identified location in the survey and confirmed by the committee is the Discovery Bay Boulevard Sandpoint Willow Lake intersection, either side of the road, if you will. And that parcel is currently on the market. It is for sale. And I just wanted to know if the board has any interest in moving forward with any discussions, negotiations, conversations relative to that piece of property as a potential future community center site.
It's here for the community center committee, guys. Yeah. They're the ones that should know, that have should have some input on this.
Yeah, I mean, that site is the preferred site of the committee. It's a preferred site for me ever since we thought about it. I mean, we tried to buy that athletic club some 6 years ago. But my only reservation is that we still have to deal with the fact that as far as the Hoffman Company owes us land and half of construction cost. And right now they're on the table is the 12 lots in Village 1 of Discovery Bay West. That is it. So if we can figure out, I mean, I think we're going to have Catherine Viseris at our next community center meeting. You know, if we could be able to sell those 12 lots and get that, I mean, I would like to go for it, but I'm just not sure how the logistics on it. But it is a preferred site.
Chris, do you have anything to add to that?
I would just say that the 10 acres allow us ample, we talked about doing this project in phases, and the infrastructure and the zoning are compatible with what we're looking forward to doing. Again, this is a project that's going to be in phases, and you know we're starting to identify and make clear some of the uses, and I think that spot would foster those uses, but it is going to be a phased approach, and first thing we need to do is get the land secured, and I think we've got a good committee, and we had some good public input so far, so I'd recommend that we have discussions with the county on how to move forward.
Director Simon.
The 12 lots that are owed to us by Hoffman, do we have the discretion to sell those lots and turn that money into something else?
No.
Okay.
We would probably
We would have to go back to the table, so to speak, with Hoffman.
Before we even consider looking at anything, knowing that Hoffman is likely to deal with, he's going to want huge concessions before he lets us sell those 12 lots. So, I mean, shouldn't we take a look at where we stand with him before we even think about encumbering this town for $1.3 million, $1.4 million for the 10 acres?
It's currently on the market for $2.3 million.
So, I mean, I think we're very premature here at this point. I believe the Catherine concerns, I get input from her, and let's see where Hoffman stands before we.
It is a challenge. It's a cart horse thing, and it's hard to know which direction to go with it. I understand what you're saying, Director Simon. Any comments, Director Dawson?
The only comment I have, I mean, I agree completely with Mark on this one. I think the only thing we can really do here is maybe write a letter to the county, to Catherine, or invite her over and just say, you know, just an FYI, this would be a perfect location. I don't think we really can do anything else besides that.
Comments from the public?
You might make that the owner of the lot more amenable to sell you at a decent price if you just sit on them every night and every day about the weeds on that place. You can't walk down the sidewalk anymore without getting your clothes tore up or your legs scratched. Somebody's got to do something about that lot, and if you make it enough of a pain in the ass to them, they might think about selling it to you at a better price.
You're talking about the 10 acres?
No, I'm talking about the
12 lots.
I'm talking about the lot right next to it. Yeah, the 10 acres next to it. No,
part of the 10 acres.
The empty part of the club.
On the corner of Willow Lake. Okay, I'm sorry. I just didn't catch it. Other comments?
When I read the results of the survey, I was under the impression that there were quite a few people that said, absolutely, I'm against this if you take over the athletic club. Yeah, there were.
Was that a question?
No, that was a statement that there were people that said if you shut down the club. I know, but I read that in there, and I just wondered if that was weighed into what you're deciding or talking about tonight. That there's a lot of people that do not want to lose the athletic club.
Okay. Okay. Thank you for your comments. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to get clear in my own mind what we're talking about. I know where the 10 acres has a sign on it. The item in the agenda tonight mentioned the athletic club.
Yes.
Is the 10 acres other than adjacent to the athletic club? Is
it all inclusive? All inclusive. The tennis courts, that's all 10 acres, that whole corner right there.
From the corner
to the fire department, and from the corner to the church.
The 10 acres includes
All the developments that belong to the athletic club.
The athletic club is sitting on the 10 acres.
Yes. That would be correct.
And Hoffman owns the athletic club and the 10 acres.
No. It has nothing to do with it.
It's a private family.
Okay.
When's our next meeting?
Yeah. Okay. I'm sorry, Mr. Richards. There should only be one of us responding to you. We apologize. It just happened. We all know the answers, and we're speaking at once. We don't mean to be doing that. What did you have any other clarifications that we can help you with on this?
No.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
So this has been said before, and what caught my attention was a misstatement Ray made. If you interpret the agreement with the county and Hoffman, as it reads, it says, as Ray said, and I think correctly, that they own land and they own half of the development cost. But when you haul the county people in here, you're not going to get that answer. They're going to say they own land and they owe a bond, and that bond has a very specific value. Now, with respect to the land that's owed, if you look at that agreement that's in the conditions of approval, and I hope every one of you have looked at it. Has every one of you looked at that agreement?
Yes.
If you haven't,
with your comments, please.
Okay, it's my comment that every one of you should look at it. It's incumbent upon you to look at it. It's about a paragraph. And it is loosely written. It's subject to all sorts of interpretation. And I would suggest, in parallel with discussions with the county, that you seek a very specific interpretation of that from outside counsel who has expertise in these matters, and have them look at history as well. Because if you have looked at the file, you'll see that Hoffman Company has prepared a grant deed not too long ago for another parcel other than these 12 lots. So the 12 lots are not locked in stone. If they were, Hoffman would not have done what he did. And you know he's tried to push off other land for this as well. So I don't think you should look at the 12 lots as an absolute. I certainly wouldn't look at the bond as an absolute, because I think it's possible to get an interpretation otherwise and use that as leverage when ultimately this is negotiated. And I don't believe the county is going to be in any have a significant interest to act on the best with the best interest of this community. They'll act, in my opinion, on the best interest of Hoffman and the best interest of the county, which is not necessarily the best interest of this community, and I think you need to keep that in mind. But most importantly, you all need to read that paragraph of the conditions of approval that states what the obligation is. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Now, I'm not clear, because you said that the private family owns the athletic club and Hoffman owns the corner, so who owns what? What's what?
Next.
Okay.
No,
to make it very simple.
I'm asking a question here, Buster, and you say next.
Excuse me.
Answer the question then. Thank you.
Hoffman doesn't own any of it.
Hoffman owns none of it.
Hold on.
So I was understood.
Hold on. I'm talking to Mr. Sutton. You don't address an individual director, sir.
He addressed me.
I am going to address your question.
Go ahead, address it.
Great. You done?
No, you're rude.
Are you done?
You're rude.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I'll stand here until I get my answer. I'll get it from Director Simon then.
Sir? Any other comments, sir?
Director Simon?
Give me the answer.
Any other comments, sir?
You're a prick, buddy.
You're an asshole, is what you are.
On a lighter note, my family's been celebrating at a community center for years. I got little ones here. Is there anything the public can do to help you guys facilitate this?
Money.
Not at this time. We have a committee that's working on it. If you want to be involved in the committee, then I would suggest that you find out when the meetings are. And if you can, I don't know what your schedule is, because they meet in the afternoon sometime. Go ahead, Ray.
Can I get to the 2 weeks before?
It's October 18th.
The 18th at 3 p.m. in this location.
Okay, thank you.
And we would love to have your input on that.
Absolutely.
And for clarification purposes, there is a 10-acre lot on the corner of Willow Lake and Discovery Bay Boulevard that is a privately owned 10 acres that includes all the structures and improvements that's known as the Athletic Club. It also includes the lot. That's all one parcel. There are 12 lots that were brought into negotiations years ago with regards to the commitment by Hoffman for the community center, which are over in Village 1, across the street from Timberlake School, and I don't know the two streets that it's on the corner of, but you can't miss it because it's got black tarp all the way around the fence. That's a 12-lot parcel that's about 2.5 acres. Correct?
Yes.
About 2.5 acres. That's the other parcel, and that's the one that Hoffman initially made a commitment with. I don't disagree that nothing's locked in stone. That's exactly why we have this committee together, to look at all the options. The negotiations, it's a convoluted situation, but the negotiations really, correct me when I'm wrong here, Ray, occur between Hoffman and the county, representing our best interests. So, however you want to interpret that, you're more than welcome to, because I'm sure it can be interpreted a lot of different ways. So that's where it stands at this point. So I hope that helps clear things up for people. Any other comments from the public? Any comments from the board? Was there any action to be taken here tonight?
That's what I'm seeking, is to see if there's any action from the board this evening.
I would put it back in the hands of the community center committee. So it sounds like to me like they're moving forward, and they can ask these questions and get a lot more information than we have right now. I think Director Simon's correct in saying that we don't have enough information at this point. And we all are aware that's there, and we've seen the sign. Okay, that would be F. G's been taken care of. H, manager's report.
I only have one item tonight, and that is I would like to introduce to the board and to the public our new finance manager. Deanna Breitstein is a Discovery Bay resident. Do you want to stand up? She's a Discovery Bay resident. We were fortunate to find a local in the recruitment process. It was we're happy to have her. She's in her 3 days that she's been here. She's already made positive improvements, and I'm looking forward to a long-term career with her in Discovery Bay, and I'd like just to welcome her to the team.
Hear, hear.
Now that you've been to a meeting, you still want to work there.
I would suggest you take Wednesday nights off. Thank you, Rick. Appreciate that. District Council, any report from you, sir?
Yes, briefly.
I'm sorry. Comments on the general manager's comments, or I don't know, whatever Rich wants to ask.
Yeah. I have a question for the general manager, which I've asked for the last three meetings. May I have a copy of the 10-year sewer study?
It will be out on Friday.
Can we get a copy of it?
As soon as I have a chance to look at it. I was promised today I would get it Friday. I don't know when I'm going to get it Friday. Once we receive it and distribute it to the board, it will be posted on the website.
The full report?
The full report.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Rich. We're anxious also, by the way. We ask more than just every 2 weeks. Thanks. Legal report. I'm sorry, counsel. Didn't mean to interrupt you there.
That's okay. This evening at 6 o'clock, the board held a special meeting. There were two items in closed session. conference with legal counsel. All five of the board members were present during the duration of the closed session. The board unanimously directed me to respond to both of the items regarding one was a demand to cure by letter dated September 5th of 2011 by Mr. Richardson. The response from the city is there has been no violation as previously stated. In regards to the second item was another demand to cure dated September 15th, 2011 by way of an email regarding director's medical coverage. Unanimously, the board concluded that request was untimely. Thank you, sir.
Thank you for your report. Okay, committee reports. I don't believe any committees have met since the last board meeting. I will inform you that there is a communications committee meeting on Wednesday, the 19th of October at 5:30 prior to the regular meeting. Correspondence and public records requests are listed. Future agenda items. Anything?
No.
Ms. Richardson. Look, I saw you without my glasses on. That's pretty good.
Oh, good. I asked at the last meeting when you said future agenda items if we could have a report on the wetlands project, and you said that you would get to that. So is that a possibility? And the whole thing, not just the one that's closest, that's been developed, but the one that's closest to Slifer Park. It's the area that's closest to Slifer Park is the one I'm interested in. It has a sign on it that says wetland project.
Okay. Staff, rather than have us briefly explain the difference, the two different things we're talking about here.
The wetlands project at Slifer Park is a ecological wetlands that was identified through the county and through environmental reports that was sensitive, and so it needed to be preserved. That is in a preservation stage. And there's nothing that takes place in that stage except for an annual visit by the biologist. And what they do is they go in and they identify which non-native plants need to be removed. The wetlands at our wastewater treatment plant.
That's the one I'm interested in.
That is something that we discussed after the last board meeting, and we will be bringing back a report, an update on that, but it won't be in the immediate near future. I can get a little bit more about it, but there's a lot of things that are happening with that right now that are with University of California, Berkeley. Things are taking place. We want to get that information and get that brought current before we bring it back to the board.
Okay,
and
thank
the
you.
Public. Yes.
Any other future agenda items? Go ahead, Brian.
I'd just like to see if we could bring the internship program and maybe make it more than a pilot program.
Anything else? Okay, not hearing any.
You need a motion.
Then I will go ahead.
I make a motion that we adjourn.
Is there a second? Okay, the motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye.